IVM.
Hi and welcome to Know Your Kanoon. This is Amber from AM Rana Ventures. And in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about something very, very interesting, which is taking place in the country. And that is the disputed farmers bill. Now, the idea to discuss this in today's episode is probably just to give you a framework of what the bill is. What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? And we are going to do a two set of series on this. Today we're going to talk about what the legislations are, what are the benefits in a layman's language, right? And then in the coming episode that we do, I'm going to ask you all to write in questions which you feel. You're going to have somebody from the farming community be with us, and probably someone who's an expert in those laws come and give his views. That way we'll be able to address, the democratic process of understanding what the bill is all about, what is the layman's concern, whether it is advantageous, not advantageous. We're going to have a look at that, right? Without any choosing of sides, but trying to analyze the legislation from a perspective as to the benefits and the losses and a comparative study between the both. Right. Coming back to today's session, well, let's see what are these three legislations that have been passed by the government. The three legislations that have been passed, namely number one is the Farmers Produce Trade and Commerce Promotion and Facilitation Bill 2020. What this bill particularly does, it allows intrastate and interstate trade of farmers produce beyond the agricultural produce marketing committee markets. The state governments will not charge any levy or I would say any marketing fee for doing so. Farmers can trade produce at any place outside mandis, including farms, factory premises, warehouses, silos, and cold storages. So there is no requirement to go to a designated mandi to be able to sell that. Produce can be traded electronically in specified trading areas. What this in turn does is basically this allows setting up of e-trading facilities for direct and online buying. These platforms can also be established as companies, partnership firms, or as registered societies. So coming to the gist of it, the first bill, pretty handy, has given out the fact that farmers can go beyond mandis. Farmers need not stick to any such format for trading. They have the free way to market and sell their products. They can do it interstate as well or intrastate as well without the involvement of mandis at all. And that is one of the most contentious issues which has been raised in the parliament and otherwise. Coming to point number two, the Farmers Empowerment and Protection Agreement of Price Assurance and Farm Services Bill 2020. This is the second bill that was passed by the parliament. What this does is let's look at what it does. Basically, what it does is it creates a framework for contract farming through an agreement between a farmer and a buyer prior to the production or rearing of any farm produce. Pretty simple thing. Two parties get into a contract. They agree to a specified quantity being farmed or being crop being sown, and then before even if it's ripened or before there is any rearing, you agree on certain terms and conditions, and then accordingly you do your so-called kheti or so-called farming as per those terms and conditions. That is one. Contract farming exists worldwide. Number two, minimum period of an agreement will be one crop season or one production cycle of livestock. Maximum is 5 years, unless production cycle is more than 5 years. Right? So an agreement, well, for contract farming, it specifies the term of the agreement. Right? It states that the minimum period of an agreement to that effect will be equivalent to either one crop season or one production cycle of livestock or a maximum of period of 5 years. Right? So another interesting point that this is indeed a limitation, but it also tends to give more incentive to go into contract farming, right? The price of farm produce should be mentioned in the agreement between the two parties. Another important condition which it states is that price of farm produce predetermined while entering into a contract should be highlighted. Lastly, it provides for a three-level dispute settlement mechanism, either through conciliation or the conciliation board, through the subdivisional magistrate and the appellate authority in case of a disagreement between both the parties. Now, pretty simple. If there is going to be a contract farming, there is going to be a problem with agreement, there is going to be a problem with the assent, there is going to be a problem with the delivery of the agreement. Who are the bodies who can literally solve these problems? Well, they've listed the three bodies here: the conciliation board, the subdivisional magistrate, and the appellate authority. This is a small issue in comparison to the first bill, but even this bill, in terms of contract farming, if you look at the mechanisms to resolve disputes, does not seem speedy. But again, I'm not an expert on these issues in terms of it being, you know, agriculture prolonged, though I do come from an agricultural family. But as far as how these mechanisms are going to operate, well, we'll have to look at that and see how the time tells. But as far as these things go, the bill number one is the dispute that I talk about. Bill number three, the Essential Commodities Amendment Bill 2020. This has also been passed. What is this bill all about? Basically, it allows the center to regulate supply of certain food items under extraordinary circumstances that are war, famine, and so forth, so on, supervening circumstances. Stock limits may be imposed on agricultural produce only if there is a steep price rise, inflation. In order to control that, stock limits may be imposed. Empowering the center to designate certain commodities. Third important point, such as food items, fertilizers, petroleum products, as essential commodities, which the central government may regulate or prohibit at any point of time. Lastly, imposition of stock limit on agricultural produce to be based on price rise. The increase will be calculated over price rise prevailing in immediately preceding 12 months or the average retail price of the last 5 years, whichever is lower. Now, this is again a dispute point. If you look at all the three that I've spoken about, and somebody who understands farming, to me, bill number one seems a little overreaching with regards to how it would function in India, though this is a vision. And there's nothing wrong with this vision, but on-ground operability is something that needs to be looked at, right? And that's why in law we don't say it's right or wrong. We assess what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. So it seems in operability, it is going to do wonders, but in application, how it goes, there is a completely different ball game. Also, removing of the middlemen, the Aadat system, is something that's going to cause a huge, huge problem for a farmer, because they are like the ATM for the farmer in times of need. The MSP, the minimum support price, etc., which has been said that it will be provided, is also nowhere mentioned in these bills, which was a great expectancy. And this kind of shows the tilt that it might not be the most favorable bill for the farmers. Right now, let's come to a summary of the pros and cons. Right, I'm going to keep it short. What the government is contending is that farmers can trade their produce even outside mandis, outside their areas. Right, contracts and contract farming can be done with a price which is listed. There is no market fee which they were earlier paying to the Aadats or the Aadatis or to the different governments for their produce. Government will give them priority in procurement, and the bills have a clear-cut outline, so there is no ambiguity. Now, let's look at what are the farmers' counters on this and what they feel are not in their favor. The nays of the bill are following. It will completely eradicate the mandi system. This is a tried and tested platform which has worked for centuries. I would like to second that on a lot of notes. Even US, if you look at, or Canada, you look at, farmers are the backbone. And they do have contract farming, but 30% of corporates have taken over those farming lands, and those farmers have not performed really well in their outcome. Due to such bills, as we talk about in terms of contract pricing, etc., being an alternative, because the corporates tend to dominate and make headway in terms of making their terms meet, right? Second contention which the farmers have is the MSP on 23 crops that are not listed, right? So many crops, as we speak about in the bill, there are 23 crops on which the MSP has not been listed. That is a major concern. Right. I mean, as it is, I am a little aware it's only on certain crops, maybe three crops, that on which MSP is there. But on ground, there's a completely different situation. So I would not like to comment here on that. Market fee, well, is another important point by state government, because it is needed for raising the infrastructure for farmers. Once this market fee is removed from the bill, who would cater for the infrastructure to deal with farming related, matters? Whether on a state level or on a farmer's level, because if that fund is not being contributed, how can they create that infrastructure which is needed? So in a mandi, there are so many things. Apart from mandi, there are so many boards which are set up, so many facilities for farmers that are set up, construction of those buildings, etc., coming up of more better defined infrastructure for farmers to store grains, to deal with all of that from a state perspective, from a government perspective. There would be no fee with the government, the state government, then who would provide for that? Right. Lastly, why were these ordinances brought? Now, with this, I'd like to conclude, since I spoke that, you know, these are three bills, three important facts. I would like all listeners to speculate and write into us on contact@amranaventures.com. And we'll have an expert from the community itself, who's also well versed with the legalities. And we'll answer all of those queries for you guys and look forward to it. So, guys, go through the summary. Please leave your comments. And in the next series of episodes, we are going to totally analyze as to how and what could be the reason that there is so much of opposition. Is it good? Is it bad?
Thank you for listening to Know Your Kanoon. Catch Know Your Kanoon on the IVM website or the app or anywhere you get your podcast from.
I hope you enjoyed that show. I'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Intel, for supporting us. First, right off the bat, want to congratulate Ashton Doctor on celebrating the 300th episode of The Habit Coach. It's a great show. If you haven't been listening to it, listen to it now. And if you listen to it, you can almost go for an entire year with an episode a day. It's really fun. Do definitely check that out. Arjun Koladi, the head of sales for Spotify in India, was on Advertising Is Dead. Do check that out. Really fun show. On Cyrus Says, we had Samit Basu, the author, fantasy author, one of my favorites. Definitely do check that out. It was a Memoria Week this week on the IVM Network. He was on Cyrus Says Cock and Bull on Thursday. He was on Litnama and, of course, his own podcast, Postcards from Nowhere. Do check that out. And one last note before we go. IVM Likes is back, and we've been doing a bunch of interesting conversations about different pop culture things that you might want to check out during the pandemic. Do give it a listen. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. And with that, I hope to see you again next week.
Advertising is dead. Yep, you heard me right. Advertising is dead. We're all in the content business now. Let's not call it news, TV, radio, etc., etc. It's all content, and we're in the middle of this weirdly exciting phase where all the borders and lines that have been drawn over decades has been swept away by this lovely thing called the internet. We're a show where we don't dwell on just the stuff that is now, but rather the wider stuff about advertising, media, content, and the whole goddamn circus surrounding it. Tune in every Tuesday for our weekly unboxing of the mystery box we used to call advertising. I'm Varun Dugirala, co-founder and content chief at The Glitch, and this is my new podcast, Advertising is Dead.